الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, we thank Almighty Allah who in His infinite mercy has made it possible for us to meet today again, which is because of Jumad al-Ula 1442, equivalent to 18th of December 2023, to continue our study in this book, Umdat al-Ahkam of Al-Hafiz Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi. In our last class, we stopped at the hadith of Abi al-Minhal, Sayyar bin Salam, where he was talking about the time of prayer, and we discussed the various times for each prayer. Today we shall continue from the next hadith, which is the hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال يوم الخندق. علي رضي الله تعالى عنه narrated that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said on the day of Khandaq. The day of Khandaq, and Khandaq means strength. It is actually talking about an incident that occurred during the Battle of the Trench. That is Al-Khandaq, the Battle of the Trench. The Battle of the Trench was a battle that took place in the 5th year after Hijrah, according to majority of Islamic historians. It took place in the 5th year after Hijrah, when the Kufar, the Quraysh, in Makkah, gathered other Arab tribes, and they came to Medina to fight with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They came with about 10,000 army. And when they came to Medina, the Prophet gathered his own companions, and his army in Medina were not more than 3,000. And they had to consult how are they going to pay this army of 10,000 soldiers. That was where one of the companions, Salman al-Farisi, suggested that they should dig a trench at the entrance of Medina. Okay, because Medina was a town that was surrounded by mountains. There's just one entrance point. So they had to dig the trench, a very big ditch in that area, so that when the Kufar come, they will not be able to cross over into Medina, because they will be coming on camels and horses. There were no planes that time. So if they dig a very big trench, the horses and camels will not be able to cross over inside Medina. So when they dug that trench, when the Kufar came, they were at the other side of the trench, while the Muslims were inside Medina from the other side of the trench. And so they only fought each other through arrows and spears, but there was no direct physical contact because of the big trench. But it was a very terrible situation, because the Muslims had to keep vigilant. They had to remain at that spot watching the Kufar, because if they leave, the Kufar can drop from their horses and cross over. Okay, it is their horses that cannot cross over, but they themselves can drop and enter into the beach and climb over into Medina. So they had to remain there vigilant throughout the day of Khandaq. According to some historians, it was a battle that took place for about 2 weeks. Some other historians mentioned less than that. Al-Muhim, it took place for a number of days. At the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a very strong wind that uprooted the tent of the Kufar, and they had to return back to Makkah without gaining anything. So that's just briefly about what happened during the Battle of the Trench. So like I said, because of the severity of the situation, the Muslims have to keep vigilant. They have to remain at that spot watching the Kufar to ensure that anybody that tries to cross over, they will fire that person with arrow. So during this time that they were watching, okay, what happened? The Prophet said, "Mala Allahu quburahum wa buyutahum nara." May Allah fill their graves and their houses with fire. The Prophet is cursing the Kufar. May Allah fill their graves and their houses with fire. Why? That kama shagaluna an salatil wusta. Just the way they distracted us from observing the middle prayer. Hatta ghabat sham. Till the sun set. Okay? From this, we understand that salatul wusta is which salat? It's salatul asr. Because he said, hatta ghabat sham. Right? The only prayer that we will need till up to the time that the sun will set is the asr prayer. Okay, he said, "What well, lovely, the Muslim, now that wedding of Muslims, shagaluna and his salatul wusta, salatul asr. All right, they distracted us from observing the middle prayer, which is salatul asr. Thumma sallaha bayna al-maghrib wal-isha. Then he now observed that same prayer in between the time of maghrib and isha. When he said bayna al-maghrib wal-isha, it does not mean that he observed maghrib first before observing the asr. No. What it means is that bayna waqtil maghrib wal isha, right, in between the time of maghrib and isha, because as we shall come to see in other narrations of this hadith, the Prophet, after causing the kufar, he now commanded his companions that they should not perform ablution. So before they could finish performing ablution, it was already sunset. Alright, in one of the incidents, it was already sunset. So they now observe salat al asr first before they now observe salatu al-maghrib. Do we understand? Then wallahu an Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Also Imam Muslim narrated from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, reported the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, qala habas al-mushrikuna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam an salat al-asr. That the mushrikun, the kuffar from Makkah, they restrained the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from observing salat al-asr. Hatta ishmarrat al-shams. The sun became reddish. How it farrat, or it became yellowish. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ Then the Messenger of Allah said, شَغَلُونَ عَنِ الصَّلَاةِ الْوُبَّى. They distracted us from observing the middle prayer. صَلَاةِ الْعَصْرِ. This is صَلَاةِ الْعَصْرِ. مَلَأَ اللَّهُ أَجْوَاثَهُمْ لِأَلَّا سِيلْ يَا بَلِي وَقُبُورَهُمْ And their grave, نَارَ with hellfire. أَوْ حَشَ اللَّهُ أَجْوَاثَهُمْ وَقُبُورَهُمْ نَارَ Or may Allah gather and seal up their bellies and grave with fire. So, this hadith, there are a number of lessons to learn from this hadith. Number one, it indicates very clearly that Salatul Wusta is Salatul Asr, as the narrator interpreted. Because there was difference of opinion among scholars as to which Salat is Salatul Wusta. When Allah says in the Quran, حافظوا على الصلوات والصلاتul وسطى. Alright, والصلاتul وسطى. Scholars define which salat is salat al-wusta. Some say it is the Fajr prayer, some say it is the Dhuhr prayer, some mention different opinions, but based on this clear cut narration, it is clear that the companions interpreted salat al-wusta to mean salat al-asr. Okay, so salat al-wusta is salat al-asr, the middle prayer. Al al-wusta can also be interpreted to mean afdal, or al-fudla, alright? So meaning the best prayer, okay? The best prayer, which is Salat al-Asr. Scholars say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that verse, حافظوا على الصلوات وصلاة الوسطى. Allah mentioned Salat al-Wusta separately from the remaining prayers, emphasizing that we should preserve it, okay? Because of its importance, right? Because of its importance. So it is that is Salat al-Asr is the Salat al-Wusta. Then this hadith also indicates that if a person does not observe the prayer at the prescribed time for an acceptable reason in the Sharia, then the person should observe that prayer even if the time of that prayer has elapsed. Okay, as the Prophet did here. Okay, because of the severity of the situation, the tension. If they forgot the prayer, or if they didn't remember the prayer until the sun has already set. Okay? And so the Prophet of now observed Salat al-Asr before observing Salat al-Maghrib. Okay? So yeah, it shows very clearly that if you leave the prayer for a valid reason, it's not that when you sleep, okay, as it once happened to the Prophet in one of his journeys, he slept off completely, he did not observe Salat al-Subh until the sun has already risen. Okay? So when they woke up, they observe Salat Subh after sunrise. Okay? So, if for a valid reason one does not observe the prayer till the time of prayer has elapsed, then one has to observe it when you now have the time, and there will be no sin upon that person as prophet did. Then, it also indicates that if you are not going to pay back the prayer, you have to pay back the prayer that has passed before praying the present prayer, as the prophet did. He observed Salat al-Asr first before observing Salat al-Maghrib. You understand? Then, many scholars are of the opinion that this incident, at the time of this incident, Salat al-Khawf has not yet been legislated. Okay, Salat al-Khawf has not yet been legislated. Even though Salat al-Khawf was legislated during a battle called Zat al-Riqa, only that historians differ. Zat al-Riqa, did it take place before Khandaq or after Khandaq? Some scholars have opinion that it took place before Khandaq, okay, in the fourth year. So if we say the battle of Zat al-Riqa took place in the fourth year, and here, this battle took place in the fifth year, then why then did the prophet observe Salat al-Khawf? Do we understand the question? Because Salat al-Khawf is that prayer that you pray during a time of tension and fear. As the prophet did, he was battling with the kuffar and they were praying. Alright, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, فَرِجَالًا أَوْ رُكُبَانًا. Alright, if the situation becomes too tense, as you are fighting, you are praying, facing whatever you are facing, if Allah is like that in the Sharia. And if there is time, alright, the Salat al-Khawf has various formats of doing it. In one of the formats, the Prophet, we shall come to read in this book, the Prophet divided the companions into two. The first group started the prayers with him, they observed one rakat, alright, then the Prophet waited, those people completed their prayers and left, the other part came and joined and observed the second rakat with the Prophet, and then they also completed their prayer. That was how he prayed it in one of the variations. Okay, so why didn't the Prophet observe Salat al-Khawf in this battle? Some scholars say it is because the battle of Khandaq took place within Medina. Alright, Salat al-Khawf is supposed to take place when one is in a journey. Like the battle of Zat al-Riqa, it occurred inside Medina, they went out. So those scholars, those who are of the opinion that Zat al-Riqa took place before Khandaq, this is their explanation. They believe it is because the battle of Khandaq took place within the town, there was no journey. Because it is when there is journey, that's when you have to pray a castle, which is two rakat. And then in the process, you pray Salat al-Khawf. But those other scholars who are of the opinion that Salat al-Riqa took place after Khandaq, they are simply of the opinion that Salat al-Khawf has not yet been legislated during this battle. And that was why the Prophet did not observe Salat al-Khawf. Do we understand? Allahu Ta'ala A'lam. Then this hadith also shows that it is permissible when the kuffar are fighting the Muslims, it is permissible for them to supplicate to Allah against them. Alright, it is permissible to supplicate to Allah against them. Ordinarily, we don't supplicate against the kuffar. We supplicate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should guide them. Alright, instead, but we don't trust them. But in situations like this, when there is battle in between us and them, then it is permissible to supplicate against the kuffar. So these are some of the lessons that we can learn from these two hadith. Then finally, you will observe that the first hadith, there is a slight contradiction between the first hadith and the second hadith. Because the first hadith is said, Hatta ghabat shams. Alright, he didn't pray until the sun had set. Okay, but in the next hadith, he said what? He said, Hatta ihmarrat ash-shams aw isfarrat. He didn't pray until the sun was becoming reddish or yellowish. If the sun is becoming yellowish, then the time for Salat al-Asr has not yet completely elapsed. It is still there. Okay, and that's why some scholars say that it is possible that the incident took place more than once. Alright, because the battle of Khandaq, like we said, it took place for some scholars say almost 2 weeks. So it's possible on one of the days they didn't pray until sunset. Alright, and in one of the days they couldn't pray until towards the end period of Salat al-Asr. Because if the sun is still yellowish, then the sun has not completely set. And that means they can still observe their Salat al-Asr without any problem. Now, the next hadith is the hadith of عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال في ذلك أعتم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم the prophet delayed صلاة العشاء towards the night. That's been of أعتم. Alright, meaning he didn't pray the prayer until it was deep into the night. He said, فخرج عمر. So عمر came out. فقال, he said, الصلاة يا رسول الله. He was calling the attention of the prophet. The prophet was inside his house. The companions had gathered inside the mosque. They were waiting for the prophet to come out for the prayer. During the normal time of the Isha prayer, but the prophet did not come out. He delayed it towards the night. Okay? Then Umar began to think that maybe the prophet had forgotten. So he went to the door of the prophet and he was shouting to the prophet, As-salat ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, it is time for prayer. He said, Rakad al-Nisa'u wa Sibyan. He was telling the prophet that the women and children have already started sleeping. Okay? It's possible women and children are at home waiting for their husbands to come back, to return back home, or their husband didn't return. They are waiting for the prophet to come observe Salat al-Isha and they are almost started sleeping. Or they came to the mosque, sitting behind the mosque, and they are already falling asleep because the prophet did not come out to observe Salat al-Isha. Whatever he said, for Kharaja, then the prophet came out of his house. وَرَأْسُهُ يَكْفُرُ while his head was dropping water. I think he had just finished taking his bath when he came out. Okay, so water was still dropping from his head. يقول, the prophet was saying, لَوْلَا أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِ if not because I don't want to put a burden on my ummah, أو على الناس, or I don't want to put a burden on people generally, لَأَمَرْتُهُمْ بِهَذِهِ الصَّلَاةِ هَذِهِ الصَّاعَةَ I would have commanded them to observe this prayer at this particular time. Do we understand? No. So, that was why in our last lecture, when I was discussing about the times of prayer, I did say that of all the prayers, the best of all, the best time for each prayer is the beginning of the time. Alright, the best time to observe each prayer is the beginning of the time, except Salat al-Isha, like I did say in my last class. Okay, the best time for observing it is to delay it inside the night. Do you understand? Other prayers, the best time for observing them is the beginning of the time. The reason why scholars of you of this opinion is because of this particular hadith that we have just read. Because the prophet is saying that if not because I don't want to put a burden on the people, I will have commanded them to be observing Salat al-Isha in this particular time. Alright, in the night, not at the beginning of the time. So this hadith shows that the best time to observe Salat al-Isha is at the middle of the night. At the middle of the night. However, because of the mercy of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the hadith clearly shows that the Prophet is such that just as Allah described him, Azizu alayhi ma'anitum, harisun alaykum, bil mu'minina ra'ufun rahim. The Prophet is merciful, he is kind to the believers. So anything that will be a body upon us, the Prophet does not want to do it. And also in one of the hadiths that we read before, in our last class also, we did mention, that was just the last hadith before that we closed the lecture with the last class, where it said, as for the Salat Isha, أحياناً وأحياناً إذا رأهم اجتمعوا أجلوا وإذا رأهم تأخروا وإذا رأهم أبطأوا تأخروا. So that the Prophet of Allah used to pray the Isha prayer sometimes, sometimes. Alright, when he sees that companions have gathered on time, then he hastens up with the prayer. And when he sees that they do not come out, then he delays the prayer. Okay, so this shows that the Imam of the mosque must be considering. Okay, if delaying the Isha prayer into the night will be a burden upon people, such that people will find it difficult to come out, then it is better to observe it at the beginning of the time. But the best time for it is delaying the middle of the night, just as this hadith indicates. Allahu A'lam. Then the next hadith is the hadith of Aisha, radiallahu anha, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said the Prophet said, إِذَا أُقِيمَتِ الصَّلَاةِ وَحَضَرَ الْعَشَاءِ if the prayers, if the iqama or the prayer has been established, that's enough. إِذَا أُقِيمَتِ الصَّلَاةِ alright, you are in your house and you hear that they have already called the prayer, they are even starting the iqama. وَحَضَرَ الْعَشَاءِ and they have brought food for you, dinner. Al-Asha is dinner, okay? فَتَبْدَأُ بِالْعَشَى. Then you start with the food. Start with the dinner before going to the mosque. وعن ابن عمر نحوه. ابن عمر also narrated a hadith that has similar meaning. So this hadith shows that if one is at home and it is time for prayer and he is in need of food, he is very, very hungry. Because in one of the narrations of this hadith, he said, وَأَحَدُكُمْ صَائِمٌ. Alright, that one of you is fasting, such that, you know, it's just they are about to call, they are calling the prayer, you are hungry as a result of the fast. You know that if you go to the mosque to pray, you will not be able to concentrate fully. Okay, your mind will be distracted because of the food. Then the Sharia permits you to eat the food before going for the prayers. The Sharia permits you to eat the food before going for the prayers. This is a valid excuse to leave Salatul Jama'ah. Okay, ordinarily, everybody is supposed to come out and observe Salatul Jama'ah, except when you have a valid reason. So this is one of the valid reasons why a person can leave Salatul Jama'ah. But Salat says one should not make it a habit, such that you don't eat until when it is time for prayer. You will not use an excuse that they have brought food and cannot go out to go and pray. No. Okay? This is in difficult situations when you are terribly hungry and the food is ready. Because when you are going to pray, you are required to concentrate fully. So anything that will distract you, then the Sharia wants you to finish with it, then give your full concentration to do the prayers. Now, so that's what the hadith is indicating. So it is an extreme situation. Now, supposing a person is in serious need of food, is seriously hungry, and the food is ready, and he still decides to go and pray. Alright, will his prayers be valid or not? Okay, a majority of the scholars have been teaching that his prayers is still valid. Alright, his prayers is still valid. This is in contrast to the opinion of the Zahiriya school of thought. They are the ones who have been that the prayer is not valid, but majority, the first school of thought have been that the prayer is still valid. The Prophet is only recommended so that you can be fully concentrated, eat the food first before going to the mosque. No. The next hadith is وَلِمُسْلِمْ عَنْ عَائِشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا قَالَتْ. Imam Muslim narrated from Aisha that she said, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولْ. I had the message of Allah saying, لَا صَلَاةَ بِحَضْرَةِ الطَّعَامِ وَلَا وَهُوَ يُدَابِعُهُ الْأَخْبَثَانِ. Prophet said, there should be no prayer while the food is ready, while the food has been brought on table. Okay? Wala meaning wala salata. There should be no prayer also. Wa huwa yudafi'uhu al-akhbathan. While the person is being pressed by the two impurities. Alright, al-akhbathan, when you are pressed from the two impurities. What are the two impurities? That is urine and excreta. Okay? So, just as we say that when you are severely hungry and food is ready, you have a valid excuse to leave Salatul Jama'ah and eat first. The same way, this hadith is saying that when you are severely pressed, okay, you feel like urinating, or you feel like easing yourself going to the toilet, then you have a valid excuse to leave the prayer and go and ease yourself up. Because definitely when you are in prayer, you are praying and you are bending, you are trying to hold on, you don't want to urinate or pass out excreta, you will not be able to concentrate as expected in the prayer. You will not be able to concentrate as expected in prayer. So when you are under this kind of terrible situation, then you are exempted from Salatul Jama'ah. You can go ahead and ease yourself and also fulfill your needs before coming to observe the prayer. Like I said, majority of the scholars, Zuhur, are all of the opinion that even if one prays, all right, while under this tense situation, so long as you did not really guard, all right, or fast, or you really does not come out, the prayer is still valid. All right, the prayer is still valid, only that definitely your reward will not be perfect because of your lack of concentration. Now, so it is makruh, right? It is disliked and detested to pray under this kind of conditions. One should free himself totally before he observes the Salat. That is what the hadith is teaching. Now, the next hadith says, "An Abdullah bin Abbas, radiallahu anhu ma'ala." Abdullah bin Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, says, "Shahida indi rijalu marbiyun." He says, men who are truthful, who are trustworthy, testify to me. So, wa arbaahum indi Umar. And the most truthful and most trustworthy among them is who? Is Umar bin Khattab. All of them testify to me that what? Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an salati ba'da subhi hatta tatlu al-sham. They all testify that the Prophet of Islam prohibited prayer after subhi, alright, after the Fajr prayer, hatta tatlu al-sham, till the sun rises. Wa ba'da al-asr, and also after the Salat al-Asr, hatta tagruba, until the sun sets. He said, وَمَا فِي مَعْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحَدِيثِ. And there are other hadiths that have this kind of meaning. So, this hadith shows, or let us read the next hadith, it has the same meaning. And Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu anhu, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri narrated that the Prophet said, لَا صَلَاةَ بَعْدَ الصُّبْحِ حَتَّى تَرْتَفِعَ الشَّمْسُ. There should be no prayer after subhi until the sun rises. وَلَا صَلَاةَ بَعْدَ الْعَصْرِ حَتَّى تَغِيبَ الشَّمْسُ. And there should be no prayers also after Asr until the sun sets. Until the sun sets. Now, so these are the two hadiths. He said, قال المصنف, the author said, was in Bab, under this chapter, there are hadiths from who? From Ali bin Abi Talib, wa Abdullah bin Amr bin As, wa Abi Huraira, wa Samra bin Jundu, wa Samra bin Aqwa, وزيد بن ثابت ومعاذ بن جبل وقاب المرة وأبي أمامة الباهلي وعمر بن عبدة السلمي وعائشة رضي الله عنه وصنابه ولم يسمع من النبي فحديثه مرسل. All of these companions narrated a hadith from the Prophet concerning this kind of meaning, including this صنابه, who happens to be a tabi, is not a companion, it's a ولم يسمع من النبي. He did not hear from the Prophet directly. So his own hadith is mursal. It's a break in the chain of narration. That's what it means by mursal. Now, so these two hadiths indicate that once a person observes Salat al-Subhi, then he is not permitted to observe any nawafil again. Until what? Until the sun rises. Likewise, when a person observes Salat al-Asr, then you are not permitted to observe any prayers again until the sun sets. These two hadiths are talking about nawafil prayer. Okay, they are talking about nawafil prayer. And the Prophet, in one of the narrations of this hadith, indicated the wisdom behind this prohibition. He said that what? That the sun rises and sets on top of the horns of the shaitan. Okay, in other narration, he said that the kuffar, those who worship the sun, they prostrate to the sun at these two periods. Okay, so those who worship the sun, they prostrate to the sun at this two periods, when the sun is rising and when the sun is setting. Okay, so when the sun is rising, when the doctor has expected to observe any prayer. And also, at that particular short time, when the sun is setting, one is not expected to observe any prayer. That's why scholars say, when you combine all the ahadith together, we will conclude that the prohibited times for prayer are five. Okay? They are five. One is after Salat Subhi. Once you observe Salat Subhi, then you are not expected to pray again. Then the second period is when the sun is rising. Okay? At that particular, that short time that the sun is rising, one is not expected to observe any prayer. Then the third time is when the sun is at the meridian. When the sun is at the middle of the sky. Okay, one is not expected to observe any prayer at that time until the sun moves from the meridian. That's when it will not be time for Salat al-Duhur. Okay, then you cannot pray. Then the fourth time is after observing Salat al-Asr. Immediately after observing Salat al-Asr, you are not expected to pray any prayers again. Then the last period is when the sun is about to set. Alright, so at that particular time also, one is not expected to observe any nawafil prayer. So these are the five prohibited time of prayers. Now, Like I said, all these videos are talking about what? They are talking about nawafil prayer, not obligatory prayer. Meaning, supposing one does not observe Salat al-Asr, when the sun is about to set, you know Salat al-Asr time is still there. Because Salat al-Asr time ends as soon as the sun sets. And we said that when the sun is about to set, you are not supposed to pray. So what do you do in that situation? And you have not observed Salat al-Asr. Do you understand? So to such a person, we say it is permissible for you to deal free. Okay? Because of another hadith of the Prophet where he said, "Man adraka raka'atan qabla ghurubi shams faqad adraka al-asr." Whoever needs just one raka before the sunset, that person has need full asr. Even though it's one raka that he prayed within the time of asr, the remaining three raka will pray outside the time, yet he will still have the reward of somebody who prayed asr at its prescribed time. So this hadith shows that this prohibition do not concern obligatory prayer. They have to do with nawafil prayers. Then scholars also say that this hadith do not encompass nawafil prayers that have reason for them. Okay, zawatul asbab. That's what we call zawatul asbab. Nawafil prayers that have reasons behind them. Like what? Like tahiyyatul masjid. Okay, you know, once you enter into the mosque, the Prophet said that anybody who enters the mosque should not sit down until he has observed two rakahs, isn't it? So once you enter the mosque, there is a reason for you to pray at that time. So whether it is after subhi or after asr or any of these prohibited times, one can still pray. Do you understand? Likewise, also zawatul asbab such as sunan al-wudu. All right, the nawafil you pray for observing ablution. Once one observes ablution, it is recommended to observe at least two rakat for that ablution. All right, this is highly rewarding. It's one of the reasons why the Prophet said he had the footsteps of Bilal in paradise, isn't it? So it's highly recommended. So such a prayer, one can still observe it. Likewise, rakatay tawaf. All right, once you are observing umrah or hajj, once you finish the tawaf, you are supposed to observe two rakats of prayers behind Maqam Ibrahim. وَتَّخِذُ مِنْ Maqam Ibrahim مُصَلَّى Salah says in Surah Al-Baqarah. So these are salats that have reasons behind them. These kind of prayers are not included in these prohibitions. They are not included in these prohibitions. Then lastly also, Rakatayn Fijr is also not included for somebody who was not able to observe it before the Salat Al-Fajr. Okay? You are supposed to observe Rakatayn Fajr before Salat al-Fajr. But if perchance you couldn't observe it till after the prayer, immediately after the prayer, it's permissible to stand up and still observe it because of the hadith of Qais, where he said, I observed Salat al-Fajr with the Prophet, and after the prayer, I stood up to observe another prayer, and the Prophet asked me, said, what is this? Are you observing two obligatory prayers at the same time? He now explained. The Prophet said, Wala Izzat, meaning there is no Ilava Izzat. Okay, so this hadith shows that the Prophet approved. In other narration, he said, "Fastaqata anhu," the Prophet kept quiet because his silence approval. So these are the exceptions to these prohibitions that we have just mentioned. Is it clear? Now, no. Okay, we can see. There's one more hadith. This is the hadith. حديث جابر نعم هناك حديث عن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما أن عمر جابر في صنف عبد الله narrated that عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه جاء يوم الخندق. This is also another variation of the same hadith that we read before. عمر came to the Prophet يوم الخندق on the day of the battle of the trench بعدما غربت الشمس after the sun has set وجعل يسب الكفار قريش. Umar now started abusing and insulting the Kuffar of Quraysh. Waqala, he said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, Ma kittu usalli al-asra hatta kadat al-shams tagru. He said, I almost didn't pray Salat al-Asr till the sun almost set. Waqala Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Prophet now said, Wallahi ma sallaytuha. I swear by Allah, even me, I have not observed that same prayer. Umar was angry that he forgot to pray Salat al-Asr because he was busy with the battle. He was coming to the Prophet to complain, and the Prophet said, Wallahi, even me, I have not observed the prayer. Qala, he said, Fakumna ila Batahan. He said, we now stood up and went to Batahan. Batahan is a valley along very close to where the Battle of Khandaq took place. Then Fatawadda ali Salah. The Prophet now performed ablution for the prayer. Watawadda ala laha. We also performed ablution for the prayer. Fasalla al Asra. Ba'adama gharabat shim. He now observed Salat al Asr after the sun has already set. Thumma salla ba'adaha al Maghrib. Then he now observed Salat al Maghrib after that. So just like I said, it shows that if you have not prayed a prayer and the time has passed and the time for that prayer has reached, you have to pray the previous prayer before praying the present prayer, just as we explained before. That is what the hadith is talking about. Other lessons in the hadith have already been discussed before. So we'll stop here, inshallah, because of time. Whatever was said, that's right, may Allah reward us for it. May Allah increase us in knowledge. Wa subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If there are questions, I'll take questions before the adhan. Any questions? Wa alaikum salam. The Imam is asking if on election day, when people are already on the queue for voting and it's time for prayer, should they leave the queue and go back to go and pray, or they should stay on the queue and vote before they go and pray? Well, it depends on the situation. Okay, it depends on the situation. By the way, Sheikh Umi was asked the same question during this time, and he gave fatwa that the Muslims should remain on the queue. And people started using it to castigate him. They did not understand his explanation. What scholars are saying, what Sheikh Umi was saying in this particular matter, he said it depends on the situation that the Muslims find themselves. Okay? If supposing it's a very tense situation where there's a very tense context between a kafir and a Muslim. You understand? Such that if the Muslim leaves that queue to go and pray, probably before they come, they will have breached their election, or they will not be able to go and pray and come back and still be able to cast their vote, which will lead to a kafir winning the election. And of course, given the kuffar superiority over the Muslim, we all know that it comes with a lot of disadvantages and a lot of defects to the Muslim. So it is in this kind of dire situation that Sheikh Bumi gave fatwa that it is permissible for them to remain in the queue and protect their vote, ensure that they vote before they go and pray. Okay? But if there is no this kind of fear, all right, of ringing, or there is a contest between two Muslims in the first place, and probably the time for the election is still very much around, the election will extend till hours after they have observed their prayer, then they should not delay the prayer because of that. They should go and observe their prayers, then come back and join the queue to pray. Wallahu ta'ala. Any other question? No. Scholars unanimously agree that it is a grievous sin in the Sharia, a major sin, for somebody to delay the prayers without any valid excuse in the Sharia. What are the valid excuses to delay the prayer in the Sharia? That is the question that we should ask in the first place. The valid excuses are, one, sleep. Okay? When one sleeps and there's nobody to wake you up, okay, and you did not wake up in after the time of that prayer has elapsed, then you have no sin in the Sharia. Okay? You have no sin in the Sharia. Once you wake up, then you should go and observe the prayer. That's one. Two, when you forget, it's possible like that at times. You can be very busy in your place of work or doing something that you don't remember that it is time for prayer. Before you realize the time of prayer has already elapsed. Okay? So when you find yourself in this situation, then you can still pray after the time of that prayer has elapsed. Okay? These are the two major reasons that the scholars give that can permit you to delay the prayer after its time. Okay? And also when you lose your senses, which is similar to sleep, when you faint, for example, then before you regain by your senses, by the time it's already out, then you can still observe that prayer. Outside this, so long as one is in his senses, and you know that it's time for prayer, then it's not permissible to delay the prayer. Do you understand? That's why the Sharia says that you should pray in any situation you find yourself. You get it? If there's no water, the Sharia says perform sand ablution, which is called Tayammum. If you are in a place where it's not possible to even find sand to perform Tayammum, and the time for prayer is going to elapse, the Sharia says pray like that, even without ablution, without Tayammum. Do you understand? If you cannot stand, the Sharia says pray sitting. If you cannot sit, the Sharia says pray lying down. So there is no any condition that the Sharia permits you to leave the prayer. Do you understand? Whatever condition you find yourself, pray like that. Based on this, it is unanimously agreed that it is a grievous sin in the Sharia to delay the prayer beyond its prescribed time. Whoever does that has committed a grievous sin, and he has to continue to repent. He has to regret his action and repent to Allah sincerely for his action. Having said this, scholars not differ among themselves. Such a person, does he still have to repay back that prayer, or he doesn't have to repay that back prayer? Do you understand? Here, there is a difference of opinion between scholars. There are scholars who have the opinion that the majority of the scholars, in whom, or the majority of the scholars, the first school of thought, all of them have the opinion that such a person should still repay back the prayer. Alright, in addition to repenting to Allah sincerely. Okay? While some scholars have the opinion that even if you repay back that prayer 1,000 times, it will not suffice for it. Alright, you have committed a grievous sin and you have delayed the prayer outside the time. So that prayer is gone and gone forever. Okay? So to them, all you need to do is to repent to Allah sincerely. Okay? And to be determined not to repeat that again throughout your lifetime. But the majority of scholars are of the opinion that one should still repay back that prayer in addition to repenting to Allah sincerely. Allah Ta'ala. No. Sorry. Okay. Let me take it. No. Juma prayer. No. of the interpretation of the statement of the Prophet where he said, "Fama adraktum fasallu, wama fatakum." In one of the narration, he said, "Fa atimu." Okay, meaning whatever you need in the prayer, pray with the imam. Wama fatakum, whatever misses you, fa atimu, then complete the prayer. Meaning build on it. Okay, build on what you met with the imam. In other narration of this same hadith, it says, "Wama fatakum fakubu." All right, whatever you need, then repay it back. Meaning, whatever has missed you, you are to repay it back as it was missed. You understand? First of all, let me say that there are scholars who have opinion that these two narrations are not different; they are the same. Okay, there are scholars who have opinion that the two narrations of the hadith means one thing. It simply means that you should build on what you met with the imam. Why? Because the word al-qada in Arabic can also mean al-imam. You understand? Because those that are saying that qada here means to repay back the prayer, meaning they are looking at the word qada to mean to repay. But we are saying that some scholars are saying that the word qada can also mean itmam, meaning to use, to complete something. That Allah says in the Quran, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتْ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. When Allah says for Salat Juma also, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتْ الصَّلَاةُ. What do you mean قُضِيَتْ الصَّلَاةُ here? I, when the prayer is completed. You cannot interpret this verse to mean when the prayer is repaid. Because if people are not repaying Salat Juma, they are actually praying it at that time. So فَإِذَا قُضِيَتْ الصَّلَاةُ. Al-Qadha here in the mana is when the prayer is completed. You understand? So based on this view of some scholars, the two hadiths mean the same thing. Al-Qadha wal Itmam bi mana wahid. Simply means that you should build on what you met with the imam. While some scholars have said that way, there are two views, okay? One means you should build on what you met with the imam, the other one says you should repay back. So how do you do it? Using Salat al-Maghrib as example, if you meet the last rakah of the imam, okay? Now, if you are following the view that says that you should build on it, so it means that you take what you met with the imam as your first rakah. So when the imam says Salat, say salam, how are you going to repay back the prayer? How do you do that? You know, you are building on what you met with imam. What you met with imam now is your own first rakah. So meaning when you stand up, what will you do? You will recite aloud, just as we do in the second prayer, rakah of Maghrib. You recite aloud and you sit down, all right? And you will do the tashahud, okay? Then you will not stand up. When you not stand up now, you will not recite aloud again. You will recite silently. Alright, and you will now sit down and also do tashahud again. So you have three tashahud as you have said. Alright, and your salat is valid. That's not wrong. Even though you have three tashahud. Alright, you are acting based on the commandment of the Prophet. You see, you should build on it. So the salat is valid. Okay? Then when you are taking the other opinion that say you should repay back what you have missed, the way you meet it, then it means that when you meet the imam in the last rakah, this very last rakah is also your own last rakah. So you now repay back the two rakah that you need as you need them. Meaning, if you stand up, you recite aloud with Fatiha and Surah. When you finish the sujood, you will not sit down. You will stand up. Because the first rakah of Maghrib, you don't sit down. All right? Then you also recite aloud again, the second rakah with Surah, then sit down and do tashahud and sit aloud. Do you understand it? So that is the two ways of praying it back. Wallahu a'lam. Somebody was raising his hand here also. Yes, I want to attend it before I come to this man. You go out, you distance yourself from where they are a little bit, or go in front of them and pray. We have said that وَجُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضُ مَسْجِدًا وَطَهُورًا. The entire act, alright, is permissible for you to observe prayer in it. So if you are here with them and they cannot pray, you have your prayer mat, go outside, spread it, outside the Qibla and pray. Leave where they are. Do you understand? So you have to pray. There's no any excuse that will make somebody to leave the prayer in the time of prayer and love. It's a grievous thing in the Sharia. No. Now, if the driver will not agree to stop the game, okay, after that 11 o'clock that you mentioned, it is not yet time for what to do, so he cannot pray. You understand? I think if they stop around, let's say, 12:30 or 12:45, we'll say it's already time for the guru, so the person can combine class guru and after at that time. Alright, then we will see and it suffice. But if it's around 11, then it's time for class guru has not yet ended, so you cannot pray. Then you have to enter the call like that. When it's time for prayer, seek from Jabba to allow you to pray. If he refuses, okay, pray like that inside the car as you are sitting. Alright, as you are sitting inside the car like that, do a karma and say Allah Akbar, alright, and you do your ruku a little bit like this, and the sujood, you go down more than this, like that, you complete the prayer. You understand? Yes. It's allowed. But don't delay the prayer till the time allows. Wa alaykum salam. No. 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 You have already prayed it. It is accepted. It has been recorded for you and it's suffice. No. Suffice. Any other question? Did you get a call? May Allah give us knowledge. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi taala wabarakatuh.